Turn in the scriptures this morning to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I'm going to read the first 18 verses of this chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye servants, service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This far we read God's word this morning. We're going to be taking a close look at the first three verses of this chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, this passage of scripture and passages such as this is based the truth of God's word as we find the truth expressed of that in Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39. Question and answer 104, dealing with the fifth commandment. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. This morning we begin our treatment of the second table of the law. As we know, the first table deals with our relationship to God. The first and great commandment is this: love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second table deals with our relationship to our neighbor, and we also are called upon to love our neighbor, to love him so much that we love him even as we love ourselves. So Jesus plainly points out to us that very truth in the summary of the law that we read every Sunday morning out of Matthew 22. We are taught in the law of God how to love one another and to love God properly. In our present world, the idea of showing love towards the neighbor is twisted. twisted in the sense that it allows for sin to enter into all kinds of different relationships. For example, a person may say, I love my neighbor, even when that person goes out and commits fornication and adultery. Then we can truly say, you're not loving your neighbor. God's law points out for us that you may not commit adultery. And if you commit adultery, or even if you commit fornication prior to marriage, you're not loving your neighbor because you're not walking in obedience to the law of God. God's law is given to you and me to guide us in the way of a true love for God and the neighbor. The unbelieving world, you understand, sets its own standard for love. A standard that's rooted in its unbelief. The love of the world is therefore sinful and wrong. But every day we are bombarded, aren't we, by the world's modern concept of love. And it actively and aggressively teaches what they think love is to everybody in this world, so aggressively that the concept of love that we find in this world has become a snare to many within the realm of the church. And we find that many churches, as well as many members of the church, are following after the modern concept of what love is all about. We are even told that those who are walking in the ways of their sins, blatantly disobeying God, still ought to be permitted to do so and even accepted in doing so because, well, we are to love them. Over against that false perception of love stands the objective standard now of God's law. God sets the standard, beloved saints, for love. And that standard is one of holiness. God's love is always and ever a holy love, a love that is not marred by or tainted by sin. And that way of true love God sets forth for you and me now in his commandments. And all of that ought to be remembered as we now launch into the second table of the law. This commandment that we're considering, of course, this morning is the first commandment of that second table of the law. And that's why the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians 6 could say this, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It is. It's the first commandment of the second table of the law. When true love is exhibited, then God is guarding actively his church and his covenant that he establishes among believers. There's no doubt about it that when God gives his commandments, he does so in order that everybody would follow in the way of his love and in the way of his holiness. But you and I ought to remember that God gives to us his law. That is, he gives it to his church. He gives his commandments to believers. And he does that for a reason. He gives us his commandments, people of God, in order to guard his church and to guard believers and to guard his covenant in the line of the generations of God's people. When we violate God's commandments as the Church of Jesus Christ, or even as families, then you and I ought to realize that eventually God will cut us out of his church and his covenant in this world. The commandments that we're now going to talk about in the second table of the law are given us for our own good and for the good of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we want God to remain a God of his people here in this church, then certainly we walk in the way of God's commandments. And that begins with the commandment now that we're considering this morning. God comes to the children of the church first of all and we'll be addressing children of the church. God comes to the children of the church first of all, and he says, listen, you are to honor your father and your mother. And you must do that because that is the proper way of showing love to your parents. And you must do that in order that God might continue his fellowship and his friendship in your generation and then also in the generation to come. That's how important this one commandment is to the Church of Jesus Christ. Children, that's how important this commandment is to the church. So we consider this fifth commandment of God's law under the theme, honoring covenant parents. In the first place, we want to consider who those covenant parents of ours are. We want to do that in order to describe for our children sitting here who our parents are. Then, of course, we're going to consider the command to honor them, and then finally, the great reward that we receive in honoring them. Covenant parents, honoring them, and great reward. A parent. It's not all that hard to define. It is a person who has received a child from God, either by means of conception or by means of legal adoption. Obviously, this includes both men and women. The moment these receive from God's hands the gift of a child, that automatically makes one a parent. From this point of view, it's easy, isn't it, to become a parent? In fact, many have found that in their sin, they have become parents when really they did not want to be parents at all. And they do not want that to happen because, you see, being a parent places heavy responsibilities and requirements upon a person. See, when a person becomes a parent, then God places specifically on the shoulders of that parent the full responsibility of caring for that child. Caring for the needs, both physically and materially, for that child, but also for the care and the nurture. And we can even add the spiritual nurture of that child. Not only is it necessary for a parent to make sure that that child is fed and clothed and receives the proper shelter, but it is necessary for a person or for a parent to instruct, to discipline, to care and nurture for that child consciously so that they set themselves also as an example in the life of that child. Parents must always be there for their children, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So, being a parent carries with it a whole lot of heavy responsibilities. Moreover, this particular commandment implies that in the life of a child there is always more than one parent. Now we know that there are exceptions to that rule and that God at times allows one parent to raise children, one perhaps by means of the death of a spouse or perhaps by means of the unfaithfulness of a spouse and they pick up and they leave, and therefore we are raised by one parent. And yet, nevertheless, the commandment here before us is clear, isn't it? It doesn't say honor your parent. It says honor father and mother. In other words, being a parent normally requires and normally demands of two working together in order to raise and instruct their children. There is both a father and a mother who ought together share the responsibilities of parenting. And all this is implied, of course, in this commandment. And most of that, well, most of that goes almost without saying, though it seems that in our present world there is a whole lot of ignorance, even on something that is as simple as that. Yet, given all of this, we're not really interested in defining for the sake of the children here today what a mere parent is. That's what a parent is. But there's a whole lot more that our children ought to recognize in their parents that are sitting here with them. We are more interested this morning in defining for our children a parent in God's church and therefore in God's covenant. Covenant parents are all of the above, no doubt about it. But there is the added element of these parents being members of Christ's church and covenant in this world. In other words, the parents we see sitting here with us in our midst this morning are believing parents. They themselves are elect children of God to whom God has shown His grace and mercy in their lives, first of all. And that's how, children, you are called to view your parents as those who have become the objects of God's grace and great love and mercy in their lives. That means that our parents are sinners. But that also means that they are sinners who are saved in the blood of Jesus Christ from their sins, and who, as a result of that salvation, love God and fear God in their own lives. Parents who have been redeemed from their own sin, who recognize their own sin and their own weaknesses, but who have been redeemed from those sins and from the guilt, and that in the precious blood of the Lamb. They are parents in whom Christ now works by His Spirit, guiding them so that they are able to love God and to love the neighbor as themselves. They are parents with whom God has established His friendship and His fellowship. They are parents of God's covenant. Therefore, they are men and they are women who cling to the promises of God to them, that God will always be with them and will be their constant helper in time of need. In short, covenant parents are those who are totally enmeshed in God's love, the church, God's word. It becomes part and parcel of their lives. Those are believing parents, and those are the parents that you're looking at sitting next to you in church. They are, in fact, members of Christ's church in this world. And they sit here among the assembly of God's people. We see them here, don't we? Every Sunday, a couple of times, together with us, sitting here faithfully in church. And they take God's promises very, very seriously. And they take one promise, well, not more seriously, but they take this one promise very seriously in their life. I will establish my covenant with thee and thy seed after thee in your generations. Or again in Acts 2, verse 39, the promise is to you and to your children. They recognize that. In other words, believing parents see their children and view their children in a very unique way, in a way that's altogether different than the unbelieving of this world. They view their children as a precious heritage of God, a gift that God has given to them in their lives. Children whom God, for a little while, has entrusted into their care to raise them in the fear of His name. Children with whom God will carry on His friendship and His fellowship in the next generation. These are children who carry on the cause of Jesus Christ, the cause of Christ's church, not just today, but tomorrow, in the future. Parents, therefore, see it as their duty and calling to raise up their children unto God. Unto God. They raise up the next generation of believers in this world. And for that reason, the spiritual care of their children is of utmost concern to a believing parent. To them is given by God the awesome, and I admit, somewhat frightening task of raising each one of their children in the fear of God's name. Before the church, the father and the mother stand. God has given them the gift of a little infant child. And on that given Lord's Day, they come and they stand before the Church of Jesus Christ to have that infant baptized. When they do, they make a vow before God. The question is they asked of those parents, do you promise and intend to see this child, when come to years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, the doctrines of the Scriptures, and taught in this church to the utmost of your power? And the answer to that question, a very simple answer, yes. But that's a solemn vow that parents make at that particular time. It amazes me when I think of the tremendous amount of responsibility that a mother and a father take upon themselves in the raising of their children. This is not just some quaint, romantic little ceremony that the church likes to hold, a ritual. At that particular moment, parents are taking some very serious vows. Think about the seriousness of the vows that your parents have taken before God, children. We vow before God that with all that is in us, we will strive to raise up children of God's covenant and of His church in this world. And we will put forth the utmost of our effort and endeavor to see our children raised in our homes and in the midst of the church under the rule of God Himself. That's what we have in the Church of Jesus Christ when we view the parents of the church. We'll read the Word of God with our children. We'll study the Word of God with our children in the homes. We'll sing the songs of Zion and teach them those songs. We'll discipline our children. Oh yes, parents receive that commandment from God, you know. They mayn't neglect that. And we ought to realize that, children, too. Our parents are called by God to punish us when we sin, when we do something wrong. They're called to discipline us. That's their calling before God. And when they discipline us, we're called to submit to that discipline and that instruction and that care and that admonition that our parents give to us. Because all of that, you see, is what motivates them in this life to raise you and me in a very godly way, and in a way that we grow up to fear God. That doesn't mean, of course, parents, that we save our children. We cannot save our children. We cannot. God saves, and God saves alone by His grace. And there are those oftentimes in the church that do not grow up loving God, and we cannot do anything about that. But we take seriously our calling, because God's children in the next generation don't just drop from the sky. God raises up a seed unto Himself by means of believing parents in the church. Well, by now, parents here are examining their own hearts. And maybe at this point, at least some of our older children are examining their parents to see if their parents really have done all of that in their lives too. As a parent of my own, I have to confess that in the years that I've taught my children, the way I see it, according to God's word, I didn't do a very good job. I tried. But I didn't do as good of a job as I could have. And I know that one day I'm going to stand before God in judgment. And God is going to demand of me, what did you do as a parent in the teaching of your children? And there's going to be all kinds of weaknesses and sins that show themselves. I know that. But the blessed grace of God, who uses the weakest means to fulfill His will. And that's what He does. That's what He does with parents. We're sinners, and that sin affects the labors that we perform in our lives, and oftentimes that includes the raising up of our children. That's never an excuse that we may fail in that respect, but certainly we understand that. But it is true, we're not going to find here a perfect parent among us, are we? We're not going to find that. Even when we have striven to the utmost of our power, we fail. And we fail because we're sinners. We're sinners. Believing parents know that. Sometimes they need to be reminded of that, especially those who are a bit proud in what they think they are doing as a parent. Maybe they have to be reminded of the fact that they're not doing everything perfectly in their own lives too. But yes, children, if you are to examine your parents according now to the objective standard of God's word and of His commandments, you're going to find that your parents aren't perfect. They're not perfect. They realize that. In fact, the catechism brings that up, doesn't it? In a very beautiful way. That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Yeah, they have weaknesses and infirmities. But despite those weaknesses and infirmities, believing parents, truly believing parents, have in their heart a strong desire to raise their children up in the fear of God's name. And there's nothing more in this world that they want to see in their children and in their growing up in the midst of the church. There's nothing more they want to see than those children one day marrying and sitting next to them in church and contending for the faith together with them as their parents. And they don't do that just for their own personal satisfaction either. They do that because of their genuine love for God, their genuine love for the church, and their genuine love for God's covenant that he establishes in the line of generations. That's why this fifth commandment comes first of all and foremost to you, children of the church. Those are your parents. Now you have a commandment that comes to you. Again, it's a commandment that comes to everyone in our society, and everyone in this world, and everyone in every culture and nation of this world, and they all had better heed this particular commandment as children. But this is a precept of God's covenant, and it comes to us as children of the church, children of the covenant. And it's given to believing children. Your believing children. That's how we view you, children. And it comes to you as believing children in order that the covenant God has established in the midst of the church might be carried on through you into the next generation. Because God gathers his church in the line of generations. And this command comes to you, children and youth, and says, honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. To honor means to show deep respect for, to show a reverence toward father and mother. It means to elevate them, to hold them in your life in high esteem, to look up to them. Hold them before your eyes in awe. It means to view them as your superior and not your equal, whom you may correct when you feel like correcting them. Or come out across with this cocky attitude to point out their weaknesses. That's not honoring your father and mother when you take on that kind of an attitude. What it means to honor father and mother is to hold our tongues and to show to them proper respect without talking back to them, without rebelling against them in our lives. And that quite obviously has all kinds of implications. It means that when they speak to us, they speak to us authoritatively, not as our equals, and we had better not treat them as our equals either. They're the authority that God himself has established over us in our home and in our family. It means that when they speak on behalf of God. And it means that we don't argue with our parents. We don't come up with excuses to our parents. We listen to them and we obey them and we show them honor. And that honor is always shown by means of obedience. It means that the spirit of rebellion, a spirit of defiance, a spirit of disrespect, a spirit of disgust toward our parents in the words that we speak or by means of the expressions on our face, because we're pretty good at that too, aren't we? Ought not to show disrespect toward our parents. Any thoughts of rebellion and disobedience or disrespect that may arise in our hearts are sin. We ought to bear that in mind too as we grow up and we leave childhood and begin to enter into adolescence. As we start to enter into adolescence, then the Lord leads us through a period of our lives where we're beginning to think for ourselves. And that's good. That's good. We want to be able to think for ourselves on our own and become individuals. until finally we reach adulthood, we can stand on our own and think and make decisions for ourselves. But there's a period of time in there that when we're beginning to develop in that area where we begin to think that we know just as much as our parents know, that we've learned everything that we need to learn, and that we're an equal to them now. And that's when we can kind of become a bit cocky in the way that we deal with our parents. Then we begin to think that we can question everything that they say and try to show to them that we're really smarter than what they are. That's what happens, you know, when you start becoming an adolescent. You've got to be careful with that. Good to establish your own way of thinking. Good to be able to sit down and talk and maybe even argue in a lighthearted manner with different things and issues that you want to talk about. But when it comes to obedience, you obey your father and your mother. That's the calling of the child of God. You show honor to father and mother. And you always treat them with respect. Yeah, our parents are not always right. Sometimes our parents aren't always fair. It happens. There's a proper way, of course, of talking with parents if we believe they're sinning as children. Always with honor, with respect. We can talk with our parents in honor and respect if we think they're sinning. But even when our parents are wrong and they tell us to do something, we honor them by showing them respect, and we do what we're told, unless they're asking us to sin, of course. But generally, that's not the case. Even if we think they're unfair, we do what we're told to do. Just a reminder to parents, perhaps, at this point, even though we're talking to children, rebellion is ingrained in the sinful flesh of our children. Just like it is in our own flesh. While our children are very, very little, they can show a spirit of rebellion toward father and mother. When our littlest of children reveal that spirit of rebellion by saying no, when they're told to do something, or when you tell them not to do something and they do it anyway, then that spirit of rebellion must be checked. And it must be checked when they are little. You don't wait until they're older. The word of Samuel to Saul, when Saul disobeyed God and rebelled against God's commandments in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, we ought to keep in mind, as children, but as parents too, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which was punishable by stoning to death. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And if we try to wait until our children are older to discipline that spirit of rebellion in them, it's a whole lot more difficult. It's something that we need to eradicate when our children are very, very, very small. Allow it to go when they're toddlers, and the problem will increase a thousandfold when they turn into teenagers. The honor of father and mother and children must be rooted in our love for them. That's what this commandment is all about. That's what it's all about. When we honor our father and mother, children, we're loving them. And that love is in our hearts, isn't it? Because, as I said a little bit earlier, we are believers. As children, we're believers. And that means that Jesus Christ hasn't only worked in the hearts of our mothers and fathers, but that he's worked in our hearts too. We love God. We love Jesus Christ. We recognize our own sins, don't we, children? We recognize our sins. We take our sins to God in our prayers, and we ask God to forgive our weaknesses and our infirmities. We do. But as a result of that work of salvation in our hearts, then we must realize, too, that we love God. And for loving God, we love our parents. And we honor God, and therefore we honor our parents. And that, you see, is what lies behind this particular commandment. God tells us to honor father and mother. That's why we read Ephesians 6 here, a passage that's really quite well known. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why is that right? Why is it right that we obey our parents? Well, it's right because all authority belongs to God, and He bestows His authority on whom He wills in this world. And because our parents are parents, God bestows His authority on them. And He says to them, now, you rule over your children on my behalf, God's behalf. Especially we as God's people honor that God, for He is our God, the God who keeps covenant with you and me. And we honor that God because He's our God whom we love, and therefore we honor parents because we love that God and we honor that God. In fact, we can go so far as to say that the fellowship that we share with God as children, that's God's covenant, you know, fellowship that we share with God, that relationship that we share with God, where He's our friend and we are His children who love Him, that care, that love of God, that fellowship we share with God through our parents. Defy our parents, we defy God. Sin against mother and father, we sin against God. We alienate ourselves from the love of father and mother by disobedience and rebellion, we alienate ourselves from the fellowship and the love of God Himself. That's how intimately connected, you see, God's covenant is with us as children, is to our parents. That's how closely it's connected to that. So we honor our father and our mother in the church because we're honoring God. And then, of course, we find a great reward. You know, for the longest time, when I interpreted that last phrase of this commandment that's added to the end of this commandment, honor father and mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, I always interpreted that as this. If you obey your father and mother, your life in heaven will go on forever. You've got the same idea expressed again here in Ephesians 6, verse 1. Honor father and mother, which is the first commandment, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I always interpreted that as being, well, in the new heavens and the new earth, we'll live long by means of obedience to our parents. But you know what? I think it has another meaning than that. That's true, of course. I'm not saying that that isn't true. I think it has a different meaning, though. When we walk in obedience to parents in the church, then I think that the phrase here means the church is going to go on for a long, long time on the earth. And we in the church, in our generations. When the next generation walks in obedience and honors father and mother, then God is pleased to establish His covenant in that generation. And then they become parents in the church and raise their children, and those children in turn grow up and show honor to father and mother. And God establishes his covenant in the next generation. And then those children grow up, marry in the Lord, discipline, instruct their children faithfully, and they walk in honor to father and mother and the next generation. So that Christ is, or God is saying here, look, honor father and mother that the days of my church may be long in the earth. Yes, God draws others in from the outside and grafts them into the vine of his church. That's why mission work is so, so necessary. That's why our witness is so necessary in this world, but we don't want to overemphasize that to the exclusion of the other. God does gather his church from the inside. And where God establishes his church, wherever he does in this world, then he blesses that church in the generations of children that honor father and mother. And our days are long in the earth. And in that is found the great reward of keeping this commandment. Fail to show that honor in God, to God, or to parents, I mean. Slowly God cuts us out of the church in his covenant. He, through the rebellion of the church over against him, rebellion of children against their parents, he slowly removes that church out of the covenant. That's how it works. That's how it works. But God continues his covenant in that line of children who are obedient to this particular commandment. When we are obedient, then ultimately this is the reward. We will see our children's children and peace upon Israel, the psalmist. Love the neighbor as yourself. It all begins right there, children. Love your parents and do that by honoring them. That's true love. That's true love. And then see God's covenant blessings on you and on your children. Amen. Father in heaven, we are grateful unto thee that thou dost save thy church from the generations of believers. We know of the awesome task that thou hast given us as parents in the midst of thy church. We know of our own weaknesses and failures. But we also are thankful that thou dost raise up unto us a godly seed, and we pray that we now as children might show honor, respect, obedience to our believing parents, that we might grow up in the fear and the nurture of thy name, and one day take our place in the midst of thy church as parents. Forgive us of our weaknesses and infirmities as parents. May we as children also plead with thee to forgive us of our weaknesses and infirmities and give unto us a spirit of obedience and submission. Forgive us where we have failed. You know, as children, we don't obey this commandment as we should. And we're thankful for the blood of Christ, too, that takes away that sin. But we pray, teach us, Father, more and more to walk in obedience to this commandment, that we might serve thee and love thee, our God. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.